This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Re, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a good Tuesday morning to you and yours. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. 420, April the 20th, 2021. Mike Tenenbaum coming our way at 7:35. I guess we call it CMT. I don't know what it's turned itself into at this point, but whatever it is, it's going to come your way at 6:45 this morning. Very light night in local sports last night, but we're here and we have a very busy night tonight. So let's say good morning and get started. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. I know we had a light night in terms of actual games, but we still got plenty of content to get into. And Brian Cashman talking to the media yesterday, yeah, let's just say I got a thing or two to say about that. So Ooh. I'm looking forward to it.
Like Forrest Gump. I got a thing or two to say about that. Good.
No, not like Forrest Gump. I don't think I'm slow like Forrest.
No, I wasn't saying you're slow like Forrest, but I think that was his thing. Like, I got a thing or two to say about that. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning. Light night, you're right. Big night in the NHL, though. I'm sure Dave and Chris, you guys saw this, but Patrick Marleau, 1,768 games.
Past Gordie Howe, right?
Which is incredible.
I had that to lead the show with, so I'm glad you went there.
Well, I figured. I mean, you got the hockey show and everything. You're savant.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm being nice. I'm turning over a new leaf. The being mean to you thing is not working, so I'm going to switch it up. Only nice things. I'm only going to be nice.
Really?
I'm going to wax poetic. You make a mistake, I won't bring it up. Lovey-dovey. Real lovey-dovey.
Chris, you think there's any chance, any modicum of a chance that this actually continues along past like 5:05 this morning?
No, Dave. I think it lasts for the first segment, and then around 5:20, he'll get back to being the Rick that we all know and love, which is painting you out to be a terrible person, and you'll go to playing the victim, so we'll all revert back to our
normal roles. Everyone will go back to their normal roles.
Yeah, normal roles.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
You said that. You said, I hope you get attacked by a bobcat. Who says that to another person?
No, at the time, I meant it. When I said that, I meant it, but now I turned over a new leaf. Because you know what? I'll tell you why it's not working, because I gave you trouble yesterday about the dog situation. We tried to be the hero. And, you know, dog jumps over you, they pee on the floor, the whole thing, and Sherry had to come save you. And I did that yesterday, and then immediately following that, I had not one Rocco blowout. Two.
Yes. Yes.
Two Rocco blowouts.
It made it past the diaper?
Past everything.
Mm.
This was up the back, down the legs. I almost vomited.
So it's karma.
It smelled.
I had no control over my bowels.
And at that point, it's like it's on your hand, and you don't know what to do with your hand. Oh. It got messed
up. Uh-oh. Yeah, those are not fun. So you're not doing it because you're a nice guy. You're doing it because you think it's karma, and it's coming back to bite you in the proverbial butt is what's happening.
I think both. I think a little bit of both. I think it's time to try a new path, take a new path.
God, there are so many things I could buy right now to attack you with.
I mean, who says that to another human being? Could you imagine if you were like hanging around this weekend, have Milo out, maybe take him to the tennis courts or whatever you guys are doing, and you get a text from Cassie, terrible news, Dave has been attacked by a bobcat. You would have felt awful about that. You would have.
No, that was old Rick would have enjoyed that. New Rick would have felt awful. I would have drove right to your house.
Or the hospital, probably, if I was attacked by a bobcat.
Yeah, and if you needed anything, if I could have donated anything, whatever you needed.
Really?
I would have given it to you. Oh, yeah, anything you need.
This is a new Rick.
This is a new me, man. Mark it down.
Let me mark this down.
April 20th, 5:04 a.m.
Yeah, all right. I'll take it. We'll see how long this thing lasts for. All right.
We'll
see. Yeah, I don't know. What's the over-under? I wish you'd get Anita. Anita will come on tell us. Well, the over-under in Vegas is 517.30 seconds and brought to you by BetMGM. I think that's what she would probably tell us. All right. So, Chris, you're not happy with the Yankees. They're 5-10. They look terrible. And Brian Cashman frustrated you yesterday with his meeting of the media, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, Dave. And here's the thing. I just don't think his commentary reflected the type of urgency that everybody in the fan base wants him to have. Like, everybody wants to see this team get right, and nobody wants to hear him preach patience over panic. The organization has been telling us the same thing going back to 2017, and yet we haven't seen the results of this type of approach, of this type of philosophy. I get it. Everybody in baseball is buying into the analytics. It's about extra base hits. It's about home runs. It doesn't matter about position versatility or being good out in the field. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter about being able to put the ball in play, being able to go the other way. This is about being able to hit over the shift, being able to hit over the fence. But, Dave, that approach hasn't gotten us anything. It hasn't. And the team is progressively getting worse in terms of what it looks like on the field, but in the actual results once we get to the postseason. I mean, you talk about Game 7 of the ALCS back in 2017, and it feels like it was decades ago. It feels like we're so far removed from having that type of success and the team being that close to getting to a World Series. So everything that Cash had to say yesterday, I understand it. To a degree, he's right because it is so early in the season. But as a fan, I don't want to hear that. Like, I don't want to hear that right now.
Yeah, here's the thing where I would push back a little bit. I mean, it's not easy in baseball to show urgency. I get what Yankees fans want, and I just don't think you guys have the personalities on your team to give you what you want. You don't have a Francisco Lindor on your team. You don't have a Marcus Stroman on your team. You don't have guys that bring high energy like that. Gardner, he spot starts, but really doesn't play that often. I mean,
if you're not an everyday guy, it's hard to envision that you're going to be able to add, you know, energy and vigor to a team.
No, and this isn't the George Steinbrenner Yankees either. I mean, this is clearly a team that financially was affected probably more than anyone during the pandemic. This is their source of income. They don't want to go over the luxury tax threshold. That's been clear. Those are the marching orders. So they have to get creative. I mean, sometimes they get too creative. Like, the whole opener thing is ridiculous to me this early in the season. But I mean, in all reality, when you look at where the Yankees have been since 2017, Chris brings up 2017 to where they're at now. As far as top teams in Major League Baseball, I mean, during that period, there's only two teams that have more wins than the Yankees.
So it's got to be the Dodgers.
Yeah, and one was cheating. It's the Dodgers and the Astros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're talking about, I mean,
but the Yankees fan doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear, you're pretty good. You're really good. All they want is a championship. And they have not had a championship in over a decade, and that's all they can see. Right? Chris, is that fair to say?
No, that's fair to say, Dave. And I'll even take the Dave Dombrowski approach where I'll go all in for the 2018 season if that means I'm going to get a chip, and then you have to break it all down, and you're going to suck for a couple of years after that. I'll take that approach. I'll take those results over what we've had the last 5 years. I really would. I mean, this is a team, this is an organization that prides itself on being able to get to a World Series and compete for championships. It's championship or bust every single year. They believe that they can put a winning product out there on the field every single season. And so this is them setting the standard. This is them setting the bar, saying this is what we expect. And the fact that they've fallen short after they got so close back in 2017 and it continues to actually get worse, and we're not getting closer to that point. We're getting further away from that point. That's the part that's frustrating to me. And I don't want to hear the general manager come out after 15 games in 2021 and saying, trust the process, trust the approach, we're not going to panic. I don't want to hear that. Now, I get it. Behind the scenes, you got to be consistent with your messaging to the guys that are in your clubhouse because this is your team. This is what you put together. But I just felt like his comments missed the mark a little bit in terms of being able to strike the right chord with the fan base, because fans of the Yankees are frustrated right now with where this team is at, and it's not getting better. There aren't any tangible signs of improvement based on where they left off last year, and I can't stand that.
All right, let's take a listen. We referenced many times this morning Brian Cashman and what he had to say yesterday. Let's take a little bit of a listen to some of the sound bites from Brian Cashman, the Yankees, of course, general manager. Here he is, firstly, on the rough start to the 2021 season.
It's certainly a disappointing start. We obviously know we're better than this, but we also know, being in this game a long time, that this is also part of seasons. You know, these are different segments that you get, unfortunately, into, and our patch is happening right in the front end, and it's not to dismiss it, but we are disappointed clearly at where we currently stand, but we know better days are ahead.
I mean, they better be ahead, and they better be ahead soon, because I think the Yankees fan is starting to get frustrated and annoyed, and you can hear it in Chris's voice. And you know, to your credit, Chris, I don't think you're panicked, but I think you're frustrated with where they are. I mean, this is right now, 15 games in, and I know you're like 10% through the season. It's a bad baseball team, and the Yankees should never be a bad baseball team.
No, they don't have to be a bad baseball team, especially with the resources that the organization has. Now, I get it. Coming off of the pandemic, they took, you know, some pretty bad losses. I mean, Hal Steinbrenner has put it out there that they took more losses than any other club around Major League Baseball. So I can understand some reservations with how they're going to manage their resources. And then you couple that with the fact that there's a little bit of uncertainty with the collective bargaining agreement and what's going to happen with that a year from now. I get why they would be judicious in terms of the kind of money that they would dole out. But that being said, Dave, I mean, I just feel like this is a golden opportunity for them to take advantage of other teams that could potentially be struggling with payroll, with finances, being able to get guys because of, you know, teams' unwillingness to be able to pay out big contracts. Like, this is an opportunity that the Yankees can take advantage of just because that they can spend more than other teams around baseball. So I just feel like there were opportunities available this offseason that the Yankees really didn't dive into. And I just feel like there was that might have been a little bit misguided based on what we're seeing, some of the early returns from this particular club this year.
I think you got to get over that, though. I mean, you keep saying missed opportunities. They already spent as much money as they're going to spend. I mean, that's why you got. I mean, that's why you signed, you know, Kluber and Tyone, and I mean, you already have it. It's where you spent the money is the problem. If all of a sudden now you're going to have a hard salary cap, and you, I mean, you can't be in, you know, those same conversations with what the Dodgers are spending. I mean, it's how you spend your money. It's the fact that you're paying Stanton all that money. That limits you as to what you can do. If it's a mandate from ownership that you can only spend a certain amount of money, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand why they have that mandate. I have no idea why they have that
obviously
mandate.
Obviously, I mean, listen, that's what Hal wants. They lost a ton of money, apparently. So, I mean, this is what they're going to spend. And I get the frustration with Cashman. The only thing that frustrates me with Cashman is you know, it's almost like he's at a point now where he wants to prove to everyone how smart he is. And he won't budge off certain things.
Which is so frustrating.
Like, Hicks is his guy, so he's going to ride and die with Hicks. You know what I mean? Like, he found Luke Voit. And Luke Voit had a great season. But, I mean, Torres is going to play shortstop. Like, there are certain things that he's hell-bent on proving to people. Like, oh, we're gonna have an opener. Well, why? You're the Yankees. You don't need, like, Tampa has to do stuff like that. They have to get creative.
Right. They have to think outside the box because they don't have the same advantages that you have. But you don't have to. You're the Yankees. And to do stuff like that. And here's the thing. It's ridiculous at this point. It is like, Aaron Hicks, you want to play him in center field? Fine. Him batting third? Yeah, I mean, every time I see him come up, I'm like, okay. You know, I don't like the Yankees. So I'm like, okay, well, this makes it a lot easier. So the Yankees fan must feel the exact opposite way. I got a runner on first with one out. Now I got Aaron Hicks stepping to the plate. I mean, Torres at shortstop. You know, we say this all the time. I think a good owner, a good coach, a good GM, whoever it is, admit your mistakes. Admit them. Just say, this was a mistake, and remedy it and rectify it and move forward rather than compounding it over and over and over. Nope, Hicks bats third and plays center field. And Brett Gardner's going to be, Brett Gardner's batting third when Hicks is off. I mean, what is happening here?
Well, it's a left-handed bat. I mean, that
third? Brett Gardner should never be batting third. If the Mets batted Brett Gardner third, I would say this is unacceptable.
No, listen, I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you. I agree that that's a problem, but it's not like, I mean, you're paying people a lot of money, like your analytics department, a lot of money to give you the best lineup. Like, let's plug everything we need to plug into a computer and spit out the best lineup. And they feel like having a left-handed batter, the fact that, you know, Hicks switch hits in that three spot is their best lineup. And we can sit here and not agree, but there are people that know a whole hell of a lot more about baseball that think that's the best lineup.
Is it working?
I don't think I don't agree with it. But again, I mean, you can't. You got smart people making these decisions. They're not going out there trying to put a lineup that's not going to win on the field. That's not what they're trying to do. But there are some things that they do. It's like, I'm going to tell you right now that we're going to win with this team. And Yankees fans are like, are you sure about that? Like, I don't think Gary Sanchez is great. Nope, I'm telling you right now, Gary Sanchez is going to be great. Aaron Hicks is going to be great for us in center field. Like, at a certain point, you're right, Dave. I mean,
just own the mistake.
You got to admit that you made a mistake. And I don't think he's willing to do that. And we'll see if he's right. I mean, it is only 15 games. And I know Yankees fans don't want to hear it, but, I mean, the process has got you to the dance. Like, you consistently, you're always in the playoffs. So you always have a chance to compete for a World Series. Now, you haven't got there because, you know, of a bunch of different reasons. But, I mean, at least, At least you're there every year. You can't say that about a lot of teams in Major League Baseball.
Outside the Dodgers and maybe Astros, I don't think you can say it about anybody.
No, those are the teams, really. I mean,
The Braves are in that stratosphere now, maybe.
Yeah, well, the Braves always win the division. Yeah, so I mean, they're always a part of that conversation. But as far as, you know, since 2017 and wins, what we're talking about, I mean, you want to be the Dodgers at this point. I mean, that's really the model franchise right now.
But here's the thing: you want to be the Dodgers, and I think it's pretty obvious you're not the Dodgers.
No, you're not willing to spend like the Dodgers are willing to spend in how they spend their money.
And they're a way better team than the Yankees right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, Chris has kind of alluded to the fact, like, you're kind of handcuffed because there's moves that you want to make, but just financially, you know, Hal's not letting you make those moves. Well, part of the reason is because Cashman made a bad deal for Stanton. Like, would you rather be paying Stanton $30 million a year to be a DH that can't stay healthy, that you can't play every single day, or paying Mookie Betts, like the Dodgers are paying Mookie Betts? I mean, you tell me.
I think we know the answer to that one.
So, I mean, that's where they're at. But, I mean, it's only 15 games. You got to wait and see. Baseball is one of those sports.
It's a long season.
Well, Ryan Cashman put a time frame on it. He said, we'll see what our record is at the end of the month, and then we can judge us accordingly. I mean, that's what he said yesterday. So, I'm wondering, is it fair for Yankees fans at the end of April, if this team doesn't improve, if it's not better than 5 games or 10 games below 500, can we start to criticize them then? Can we start to panic then? I just want to know when's the appropriate time as a fan where I can start to break glass in case of emergency. When does that happen?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone complains at the station. Michael wasn't asked to host that Zoom call, and he felt the way about it.
Well, I mean, don't you think they should have at least had the respect for Michael to ask him if he wanted to be involved so he could say no?
But that's what all you guys want. You want to be asked just so you can say no.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe he says yes.
He wouldn't have said yes.
How do you know that? I mean, those are his peers.
Do you understand that Don has dedicated his entire life to the game of baseball?
That's a great point. Right? You make an excellent point. When you dedicate your whole life, I mean, that's the payoff. You get to host fun things like this.
That's right. Had Michael put as much time and effort into the game of baseball like Don has, maybe he'd be asked for something like this. But Don has dedicated his whole life. Ray or RJ, can we get that sound at some point with Don? It was during he was ranting about something. What was it? Oh, it was DeGrom coming out opening day after like 77 pitches. And he says, and I have dedicated my whole life to the game of baseball. At some point, if we could grab that. All right, speaking of Don LaGreca, let's take a little listen to what he had to say yesterday. When does the standard change about this New York Yankees team and organization?
If this is Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill and Derek Jeter, you can say, well, we're the Yankees. We're going to be fine. But there were questions about this team even when they were winning 100 games. Can they win a championship? Are they good enough? Are they winners where they can take the championship or not? Now they're not winning 100 games. Aren't they built to win the championship? They get treated differently than every other team. We're going to have a dance today later talking about the 6 straight wins that the Knicks have had. You know, but the Yankees are held to a way different standard. When does that standard get looked differently? Because there's nobody on this team that compares to the core four or the guys that were winning 4 championships in 5 years. So when do we reevaluate? You're not the Yankees anymore. You're just another team trying to figure it out. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to figure it out, because none of those players are going to come out of the dugout and help you win a championship. These are your players. Who are we waiting for? Luke Voit?
Time out. Disagree.
I completely disagree.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're a Yankees fan, you don't want the standard to change, period. I mean, you want to put pressure on the organization to try to win a championship, because that's the standard that they set. As far as this team doesn't have anyone that can compete with the core four of players, you got the second best pitcher in baseball. You got Aaron Judge, who should have won the MVP. You got DJ LeMahieu, who just won the batting title. I mean, he's been one of the best players in baseball the last 2 years. Luke Voit led the league in home runs. Stanton is a former National League MVP. I mean, you have the talent to win. I think the biggest problem with the Yankees, because you're right, I mean, they're playing terrible baseball, is they have no personality. They're boring. They show no fight because they just have a bunch of guys that just, you know, it's just head down, let's just business-like, You know, but it, when you're losing, that's, I mean, fans can't rally around
that. But you just said it. If you're 10-5 right now, nobody gives a crap about that. The only reason being quiet and having a demeanor like that is because you're sitting here at 5-10 and not rolling through the American League East right now.
Yeah, but Dave, the leadership conversation was one that we were talking about in the last couple of postseasons. Like, do the Yankees have the requisite leadership in that clubhouse to be able to push past the point of getting out of the ALDS or the ALCS and into the World Series? Like, when you start getting to the championship rounds, leadership and chemistry matter a whole lot. Like, you look at what the Boston Red Sox did in 2018. They had some leadership on that team. They had some guys that could kind of grab the team by the throat and get them to that point. Like, you look at what the Dodgers did last year. I mean, adding Mookie Betts, they had adding leadership like that, being able to grab that team by the throat and get them to that point. Like, the Yankees, we haven't Aaron Judge is supposed to be that guy, but we haven't seen actual evidence that they have strong leadership in that clubhouse, and this is one of those times that you need that kind of leadership in order to get this team on the other side of this early adversity. They don't feel like they have that right now, and you're wondering where that's going to come from.
All right, let's get to some of the calls. Yankee fans are lined up. They want to get their 2 cents in, and let's go. Let's go to Richard in Yonkers. Good morning, Richard. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Richard. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I need you guys to explain to me why the Yankees, who are valued the second most valuable team in the world at $5-plus billion, are spending like we are the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
That narrative is absurd. You're not spending like you're the Tampa Bay Rays. You're spending like one of the top teams in Major League Baseball. You're not spending like the top team, but one of the top teams in Major League Baseball.
Well, I'm being sarcastic, but my point is, why aren't we spending like the Dodgers? We have Dodger money. We have probably the most recognized.
Well, I don't think you have Dodger money. But time out, Richard. I don't think currently you have Dodger money.
Really?
Yeah, I think what the pandemic did to the, and this is a family business. This is where they make their money, is the Yankees. And if you want to take Hal Steinbrenner at his word, they were affected the most by the pandemic. The amount of money that they lost. I mean, they're still spending $200 million. Okay. I mean, I don't know what else you want. It's how you spend your money. I mean, the Stanton contract is a problem for you.
The Dodgers are going over the luxury tax threshold, and they're like, okay, we'll pay whatever the penalty is. I'm just wondering why we're not doing that. We used to do that. So, I mean, what has changed?
Well, I think what has changed is that when you get to the postseason, you lose to a team like the Rays that doesn't spend any money.
Mm.
So, I mean, you got a team that's spending, you know, less than $70 million that beat you last year in the postseason and gets all the way to the World Series. Hal Steinbrenner is probably scratching his head going, well, why the hell am I spending $200 million if we can't beat a team that's spending $60 million?
You know what's really going to send Yankee fans over the edge? When the Mets start blowing past it. When Steve Cohen and the Mets blow past the luxury tax threshold and just spend good money after bad, because it's going to happen at some point, mm-hmm. I think the Yankees fan really loses it at that point.
Oh, he said he would.
Yeah, well, I
he
know
said he's not just going to spend. Well, he said it makes no sense to just spend slightly over the threshold.
Right, I'm going to blow past it.
You're going to blow past it. Like, you pick the year you want to do it, you blow right past it. Here's the other thing with the Yankees, though. It's almost like they've swung too far to the analytics. And what I mean by that is, it's like go through the list of things that you like. I love baseball. I haven't dedicated my whole life to baseball like Don.
No, I mean, very few have, yes.
But I think, I mean, as far as baseball fans are concerned, I mean, the three of us on the show are huge baseball fans. I still play the game. Like, all the things that drive me crazy about Major League Baseball today is pretty much who the Yankees are. Right? Home runs,
yep.
Strikeouts. Like, almost like it just... I get work in the count and everything else. They love to
heavy
work.
Heavy analytics, yep.
Not heavy analytics.
Not very athletic.
Not at all. Zero athleticism. Don't run bases. Don't steal bases. Awful defensively. It's a tough watch, man. When they're not winning, it's boring. And they got no heartbeat. Like who's the emotional leader on the team?
Don't have know. It. You don't have it, Rico.
Like, you see Lindor on the field. Like, you saw. I mean, the dude is. I mean, you talk about energy in like lifting his teammates up and bringing that every single day.
You don't
like
have
that guy's
it.
Not even hitting, and he's must see.
I know, right?
I mean, he's pounding his chest, and then you got Stroman. I mean, he's fired up. Alonso's that kind of guy. He's fired up. Like, it's I get it with the Yankees fan, man. You want to feel like your team cares as much as you do. And because they have, like, this business-like approach where we're just going to go about our business, don't worry, trust the process, it's like, okay.
I can't trust it, though, Rico. I can't trust it based on what I've seen the last few years. I can't trust it. It's different now, and you're right. They don't have the guys that are in that clubhouse that are going to bring that energy, that are going to bring that leadership, man. They don't have any more CC Sabathias. They don't have a Didi Gregorius. When those guys were around, there was a different vibe around the team. And guess what? You felt more confident that this team would eventually find a way to be able to break through. Now I just don't see a path with this collective group. I just don't. And forgive me for saying this, and I know that this is early, and I don't want to bury them already, but they got to be able to fight their way out of this, and I just don't have a lot of confidence that this group of guys is going to do that. I don't. Now, will they be better? Yes. Will they eventually hit? Yes. But it's still a flawed baseball team. You still got major issues with your starting pitching. You still got major issues defensively. Those things aren't just going to get fixed. And those are the things that are going to pop up and play a huge role in determining whether or not you're going to have postseason success. So, again, it's one of those years that it feels like it's setting up for Yankees fans to be disappointed at the end.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Next Thursday morning throughout the show, we're going to slowly make our first 11 selections of the NFL draft for later that night. And we are very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm fired up about it, Dave. I know Rick is not exactly enthused about it, but, I mean, this is a big draft for both local teams. I mean, the Jets starting over with their new franchise quarterback and the Giants trying to figure out if they got one. Exciting times.
Very exciting. Rick, you're on board now, right? You said
no.
a different Rick DiPietro moving forward now.
No, a nicer Rick DiPietro. Uh-huh. That didn't mean that I would participate in the mock draft. No. That has not changed.
Come on, you hear that little jingle?
Yeah, and I look forward to hearing it on Thursday night when they actually have the draft.
I look forward to, like, in Rick DiPietro's third overall selection will be, and then the jingle.
Yeah, I'm all set. I'll host it. I will host the mock draft. You guys go back and forth.
You host the mock draft.
I will host the mock draft.
Okay. So you want to host it and participate. You are a giver.
No, I just want to host it. I'll just be hosting it. I will be the greenie of the segment. Is what I'll be.
Okay, speaking of hosting, Dave, isn't our very own Mike Tannenbaum hosting a draft special on our airwaves next Wednesday?
That's right. That you are 100% correct. Next Wednesday, I believe 10 to noon, he's going to host a little draft special with the likes of Ernie Accorsi is going to be on his show. Rex Ryan is going to be on this special show. So this is going to be big, big stuff. Big, big stuff. Eric Mangini. The great Ben McAdoo with an oversized suit is going to be on the show. Mark Sanchez is going to be on the show. And I think he might want you as well, Rick. I'm thinking.
No, I'm all set. Let Mike do his thing.
Help him break down the top 11.
No.
Are you at all upset that he didn't ask you to host the show?
No, I don't. I mean, it's Mike Tannenbaum is a former NFL GM for two
different teams. Dedicated your entire life to the game of football?
I have, but I can understand why I wasn't asked.
Okay. Now, for all those that hear what we're saying, and we're making fun of Don, and he said he dedicated his entire life to baseball, and you say, well, what exactly is that from? It was the day after Jacob deGrom was pulled after the Mets opener, and Don lost it, and here is what he said about his lifelong dedication to the game of baseball.
I invested my life in this sport. Some form of baseball I played my entire life.
I invested my life in this sport.
Wow.
it made like he's Charlie Lau. I invested my entire
life. His entire life. Every single day. From the time he was a little kid, every single day.
From the time he could walk through Little League and you know, it's as if he's riding the buses from, like, you know, Charlotte to Chattanooga at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? Playing 11 o'clock in the morning doubleheaders, eating grits off the ground. Oh, my God.
I invested my life in this sport.
Oh, God.
That's great, though.
Good.
That's such a great drop.
Good. All right, Yankees fans, let's get back to you.
Jam it up!
Lewin Ronkonkoma. Lou, good morning. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great.
The problems they're having is really, it goes back to last year, 2 years ago. It's we can't hit when anyone is on a second base, and we are home run dependent, and it can't be brought up before. Your adrenaline shot, your shot in the arm was Didi, you know, and that Twins wild card game when we're down 3-0, he brought us back, and he brought, you know, he brought 40,000 people back up. That was your shot in the arm. I understand why they made the move, but you don't have a guy like that no more. And to that point, you have no one to fire them up. Who's that guy? You know, you don't have anyone. So
on the field, you don't know who that guy is. The Yankees aren't a team that shows a lot of emotion on the field. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I would imagine it's probably, you know, Aaron Judge is one of those guys that's the leader of the team. But, I mean, you just said all they do is hit home runs, and the play that you bring up is Didi. It's a three-run home run he hits.
I get what he's talking about with Didi, though. Like, there was a certain – it was a certain type of – I don't want to use levity, but there was a certain kind of air around the team where it was fun. Like, they enjoyed being around each other. They actually enjoyed playing the game. And you could see that expression when they were in the dugout. You could see that when they were out there on the field. Like, you had that – back in 2017, you don't have that around that team right now. And it just feels like there were a couple of miscalculations in terms of the direction that Brian Cashman took this team in. And I know they're leaning on the analytics to guide their approach and how they shape the roster. But I mean, that's my biggest issue with analytics. There are some things that you can't quantify that are important to team building, like chemistry. And it's clear that the chemistry on this team has been off the last couple of years because we're talking about them underachieving. This is supposed to be a team that's capable of winning a championship, and they ain't gotten close in the last few years. Not close, Rick. At what point does that change? At what point do we see this team actually growing into a championship-caliber ball club? It feels like they're hustling backwards. It feels like they're going in the wrong direction, and that's why I had a problem with what Brian Cashman said yesterday when he's preaching patience over panic.
I think that's the only option at this point, though. I don't know what else. I mean, what is he going to say?
No, you're right. You're right. I think that's the only option. I think that's what you have to do with the players that are in the clubhouse in terms of your approach and your philosophy. You can't change the team right now. That's not going to happen. And there's not enough moves that you have in you at the deadline to drastically reshape what you're going to be in 2021. But what I'm saying is you've been telling us this for the last 3 or 4 years. This same approach that you're using in 2021, you were using 2018, 2019. And it hasn't worked out. So at some point, you got to change the way you do business. Now, I'm not saying that happens through 15 games in the 2021 season. But what I don't want to hear is you just saying, yeah, this is going to be fine. Water's going to find its level. Stop panicking. Don't worry about it. I don't want to hear that from you. I don't. I want to hear more urgency. I don't know exactly what that sounds like, but what he said yesterday pissed me off.
Well, let's go to Mike in Staten Island. An angry Chris Canty here on 98.7. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Chris, yo, I couldn't agree with you more, man. They're playing like a bunch of castrated bulls. I want to see them actually care a little bit. This approach that you said that Cashman has had the past few years. I called up a few years ago to Michael Kay, and I remember Cashman was preaching, we're going to go back to the evil empire, right? And what did he do that year? He did nothing. You had guys available. This guy, and listen, Cashman spent money. I'm not one of those naive, ignorant Yankee fans. But he didn't make the right moves. We have no pitching. We have no left-handed bats in that lineup. Who do we have? We have Hicks, Gardner. We have Ford coming off the bench. They're preaching, oh, we're going to get Tyler Wade in here. What is Tyler Wade going to do? You guys need to play fundamental baseball. They're dropping balls. They're not turning double plays. Now we got Roughneck Odor, a guy who hits above 200 maybe on his best day. What are we doing here? It's Yankees. Where is the fire, man? I know it's just like, they play, they get paid, but, like, do they care? Do they really give a crap? They're going to pay us an arm and a leg to go see the game, and they're not winning championships. And I'm not a spoiled Yankee fan, but living in reality, Yankee fan, someone needs to scream at these guys. They should have signed Didi. Didi was a left-handed bat. The guy was a
Where are they
going to
play Didi? Where are they going to play Didi? Answer me that question. Where are they playing Didi?
I'm going to tell you where they're going to play Didi. Look at this team. You got Voit, Stanton, Judge.
Where are you going to play him? Where are you going to play him?
You're going to play him. You're going to play Didi at short. Torres.
And where are you going to play Torres?
LeMahieu. Torres at second. LeMahieu is going to be bouncing around like he bounced around, and that worked. That worked because guess what?
as great as Voit is, and I love the guy, he's hurt again. As great as Stanton is, they should have never even signed him. He's going to be hurt again. Judge, great ball player. I don't think he's a leader in the clubhouse. We're painting him as a leader in the clubhouse because he's this giant monster and he's a great defender and a great hitter when he's on the field. I don't think he's a leader in the clubhouse. There are no cojones on that team, man. Let's see some fire. Let's see some blood. It's like the Walking Dead out there. Catch the ball, throw the ball. Run to the next base. It's really simple, man.
Yeah, I disagree with a lot of the things you just said. I think Judge is a leader in the locker room. I think Judge tries to be more like Derek Jeter than, you know, somebody that's going to be showing a bunch of emotion on the field. And they all care. I mean, it may not look like it. Baseball is one of those sports when you don't hit, it's tough to look like you care unless you're snapping bats over your leg and everything else. They definitely care. I mean, part of this is probably that they're feeling the pressure. I mean, again, I would make the argument that there isn't a sense of urgency. Otherwise, why would Brian Cashman have a press conference if he wasn't feeling the pressure of this start? I mean, GM doesn't do a press conference, just do a press conference.
Right. They better come out tonight and play well. Can you imagine if they get shut down by a guy they could have had in the offseason, Charlie Morton?
Yeah, I could imagine it. I mean, they got shut down by Michael Wacha.
I know. I'm tongue-in-cheek, though. But I mean, the Yankees fans tomorrow morning. Now, there's going to be a lot to get into tomorrow. So maybe the Knicks or hopefully the Rangers beat the Islanders and close the gap there.
Here we go.
What do you mean, here we go? What does that mean? That's what we're looking for. Chris, is
that's
what we're
a, that's
for?
The hockey nugget you're going to bring?
Yeah.
That's the nugget
want,
you want to sprinkle
that's
in?
That's what we want.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
That's fine. Yeah, we'll just have DJ bounce around, you know, no big deal. Just
yeah, wherever you put your... Maybe you'll catch him on the occasional Tuesday. Put him in left, right.
DJ LeMahieu was a good second baseman. He's a very average good. First baseman. That's the problem with your team right now, is when you don't pitch well and you don't hit, defensively, how your team is set up, because they don't value defense, is not very good either. Luke Voit led Major League Baseball in home runs last year.
What, he hit 22 home runs? You're not taking him out of the lineup. He's your everyday first baseman when he comes back. Let's go to Anthony in the car. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, gentlemen. What I think about the Yankees is Gary Sanchez is a complete liability behind the plate. At the plate, Gleyber Torres is a liability at shortstop. He took a flyer on four different pitchers behind Garrett Cole. And it's just not paying off for him. It really is. They have four arms that could have been great talents, were what-if guys because of injuries, and it's not paying off. They need to fix their rotation. They need better support. And they need to address the shortstop situation, especially with Gleyber. I understand Gleyber's talented, but he's not a shortstop.
But he's going to
play
shortstop
for the rest of the season. Yeah,
he's your shortstop. You may not like him at shortstop, but this is your guy. So you strap in. This is your guy.
You're not playing Urshela at short on a regular basis. Tyler Wade offensively does nothing. Zero. You're not going to bring him up for short. Gleyber Torres is your shortstop.
Where are you going to play Gleyber Torres if you don't play him at short?
I think people would say second base.
Mm-hmm. And where are you going to play LeMahieu?
LeMahieu would have to play first base.
And where are you going to play Voit?
Again, I mean, you're preaching to the choir, right? I know exactly what you're saying. That's why Gleyber Torres is going to be your shortstop.
That's right. You're not going to put him at second. That was put him at second for the short term, and then when Voit comes back, move him back to shortstop.
No, you're not.
I mean, Gleyber Torres as your shortstop is not working. That's not working.
Well, he's got to hit. I mean, the only reason you have him playing shortstop is because he can hit, and unfortunately, he hasn't hit.
Yep.
Now, if you wanted to call in and make the argument that we could have addressed shortstop, kept Gleyber at second, and then let LeMahieu play first, and then traded Luke Voit for some pitching, then I'm willing to listen to that, because I don't think Luke Voit would have been more valuable than he was after last season. Like now all of a sudden, we could have that conversation, because I think that's an interesting conversation. Like, if you have Luke Voit and Duhar, where, I mean, he's hurt right now, but he's no place to play. Like, if you wanted to package guys like that for some pitching, I could understand that. At one point, here's another thing, too, is, and I remember we said this would be a good opportunity because, again, there were so many questions about the rotation that young guys would have to step up. And maybe because of this opportunity, you'd be pleasantly surprised. Like, at what point does that happen? Like, has Michael King not shown you enough where he can actually start a game at this point?
I think he has.
Okay, so let's have him start a game. I'd like to see Davey Garcia. That would be nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, at some point, someone's going to have to step up, because it feels like it's going to take some time with Kluber and Tyone.
Yes, and Tyone on the mound tonight for the Yankees. Robin Jersey, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, bro.
Hello.
So, to talk everybody off a ledge, if you go on one of these gambling websites and look at the odds to win the American League East, the Yankees are still heavy favorites. Their odds haven't jumped even after this horrible start. Until Vegas changes the odds on them to come out of the AL East and the American League, they're still the heavy favorite for the American League Championship. Until Vegas changes the odds, there's nothing to worry about. They know more than everybody here. So just go on that website, watch those numbers, and you got nothing to worry about until the numbers change.
But, Rob, when did we ever say that the Yankees will not win the division?
Oh, no. Everyone's freaking out with the bad record. They have holes. They have flaws. They have a bunch of stuff. But I think Vegas oddsmakers know more about the team than I think everybody here put together. So that's what I'm going to go by. And until someone like Tampa Bay, until those odds jump them, I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay hasn't been great outside of beating the Yankees. I mean, right. Look at the American League right now. The American League is not a good league.
No.
It's at all.
Like the AFC and the NFL, that's for sure.
Wow. I mean, long term, do you trust Seattle?
No. Come on. I mean, okay, impressive that they beat the Dodgers. Who is the team? That's the thing. The American League stinks. What is it? The White Sox? You see Giolito's performance yesterday, by the way?
Lit up.
Who else is it? The Angels, they never make the A's. I mean, who is the team? Who are the teams at in the American League? You're like, oh, God, that's a scary team.
Well, you don't. I mean, right now you got division leaders. You got the Red Sox are 11-6.
The Royals.
Right. Kansas City Royals, and then you got the Seattle Mariners. So, I mean, you tell me. There's no one that scares you.
No.
I guess the White Sox are supposed to be that team, but, I mean, they're off to an okay start. I mean, they're game under 500. Houston's a game under 500. So, I mean, listen, if you're going to have a bad stretch, the way the rest of the league is playing, this would be the
nobody's
time to do
running
it.
Away with it.
Yeah,
right?
You can afford it. You can afford it. Let's go to everyone's Anthony today. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, our next Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, it's been rough. I mean, to watch these games, I mean, it takes a lot of patience. But, I do agree they'll come out of it to some degree because they can't be this bad. There's no way they're worse than the Orioles, right? But when you look at the team, it's interesting how come we didn't really all see this coming. But, I mean, catching, right? Issues of catching. First base issues there. Short, you know, Glaber and his issues. Even the outfield with Judge. I mean, if he turns the right way, he'll strain something or crack something. You know, and even the pitching staff. And I don't blame Cashman because at the end of the day, I mean, yes, he's had his issues, you know. But he stole Gio, he stole Voit, he signed DJ when nobody really knew who he was outside of real baseball fans. So, I mean, this is coming from the top. They just don't want to really go all in, right? They're looking at the dollars and cents, and this is what happens. And I'll tell you, look, I love Kay. I listen to the show. But sometimes when I hear, I'm watching the games and they're talking about, you know, this guy's exit velocity is 120. I don't care.
Anthony. He's the voice of the Yankees. What else positive would you like him to point to during a telecast?
But at the end of the day, it's getting so frustrating listening to just people talk about how fast the ball is leaving the stadium.
Because that's all they do well. Anthony, that's all they do well is hit the ball hard. That's it. That's all that Stanton does well is his exit velocity.
That's why they're in this position.
They're a boring team to watch.
They're in this position.
Everything I hate about baseball now is pretty much watching the Yankees play baseball. It's painful. It is. I understand it. I understand the frustration. Don't start criticizing K because he's talking about exit velo. You think that's his idea?
How dare you criticize K?
You think that's his idea? Hey, you know what we should do now? Let's focus on the exit velo.
You called the wrong show if you're going to call up and criticize.
What else are you going to talk about on a Yankees broadcast? What are you going to talk about? The speed on the bases?
No, but I just you take it so personally.
Well, because it's a stupid comment. I mean,
how dare you?
You act like that's.
I mean, if
that's
that guy
what his focus
up and ripped
is.
Me, you'd be giggling. Oh, it's funny, even if you agreed with what I was saying. But you call up and you rip Michael Kay and forget it.
No, that's his new Rick.
Now.
How do you know? I dare someone to call in and go after you. I got your backs.
See, and there you go.
Hey, what do you mean? There you go.
And there you go.
I didn't say anything wrong.
You said I got your backs.
I did not say that. You misheard. You used to old Rick. Old Rick would say that.
No.
New Rick would not say that.
What exactly is wrong with my back?
There's nothing. It's a beautiful back. I've never seen it, but I mean, it looks like it would be nice.
It's a fine back. I wouldn't say it's a world class back, but there's nothing wrong with the back.
Now, can we have a bet?
Didn't
can we
last
have a
an
bet?
Hour,
where,
Dave. Didn't if last you an lose, hour.
If you lose, you get a lower back tattoo.
No.
Can we ever make a bet like that?
I mean, you'd have to put something pretty big up there. Against me.
Think about it. I would love nothing more.
What kind of a lower back tattoo are you looking for?
Whatever you want. It could be whatever. It's up to you. You get the same one as Mickey. Mickey's got a lower back tat.
Your mom has a lower back
tat? She may or may not, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yep, has a midlife crisis. Midlife crisis made a mistake.
Really?
Yeah, no good. No.
What is that tattoo of?
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to it. No one's there. Yeah. Not something I'm real focused on,
yeah, dude. No, I wouldn't love that either. I wouldn't love that at all. All right, 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. On Thursday, May 6th, we're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in baseball, featuring Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and it's all hosted. All of this whole beautiful thing is hosted by a man that's dedicated his life to the game of baseball, the great Don LaGreca.
Don
invested my life in this
LaGreca.
Sport.
Yeah, he invested. He has invested his entire life into the game of baseball. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball, and we'll give away some great prizes as well. To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now. 888-987-ESPN. Again, be the first caller right now. 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential, presented by PC Richard and Son and 98.7 ESPN. What's the movie with Clint Eastwood where he's an 80-year-old scout that's traveled the world looking
trouble
for new
with
pitchers?
The curve.
Yes, that is what I envision Don LaGreca like. Trouble with the curve.
Some form of baseball I played my entire life.
That's right, his entire life.
Oh, man.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.